We are grateful that we can sing, believe, and worship, and know that what He has done is done for eternity. It was done for you. It was done for me. It was done for all of us. And especially on this day, we are full of gratitude because our Lord is risen. He lives, and so do I. For He said, I live, and you shall live also. This day is the greatest day in the history of the plan of salvation of our God. If Christ had been crucified and buried, but not risen, then our salvation would be in question. The work of redemption has been crowned by the resurrection. And so we know that He has risen as the first fruit, and that we will also rise. Yes, we have already passed from death into life. We look into this world with open eyes and see that God's word is being fulfilled in every way. Luke 21 says that the world will be in perplexity and that the seas will roar and people will be afraid on earth, that there will be wars, rumors of wars, famines, and costly times, earthquakes and riots. All these things are happening more and more in our days. And then our Lord tells us, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. We, as those who believe from the heart that God has sent His servant and prophet to restore all things, we believe that we are now living in the last generation and that we have come to the end of this last generation, and that God is bringing His work to completion, and we sincerely want to take part in what God is doing now. That is also the purpose of the gatherings we come to, not just to hear God's word, but to hear, to believe, to let it work on us, to be brought in line with God and His word, so that God can do the final and conclusive thing. We all agree that everything God wanted to reveal, He has revealed, and nothing can be added to the revealed word of God. But nothing can be taken away either, and we are obliged before God and owe it to Him and to ourselves to believe everything as He has spoken and revealed it. The time of our own opinions and interpretations is over. The Lord God has spoken. Who should not hear? Thus it says in the prophet Amos. Let us now read some scriptures that describe this day in some way, or bring to mind what happened on that Easter morning. I would like to start with Psalm 24, verse 7. Psalm 24, verse 7. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. We know that the King of kings has left his heavenly glory, has come to this earth, has fought the greatest battle. He went via Gethsemane to Golgotha. Certainly, the serpent stabbed him in the heel, but it was the right point, as I have sometimes said. And when you have divine wisdom before your eyes, you have to keep saying, O God, how great thou art, how marvelously you have arranged everything. It is not written when he stabs you in the hand or somewhere in the leg, but directly in the heel. The Lord only had to put his foot down and crush the serpent's head. There was no need to go back and forth. The serpent stung the right spot, and the head could be crushed at once, and the victory of our God could be revealed. Let me read from the prophet Hosea, chapter 13, verse 14. Here is one of the most powerful promises in the Old Testament. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. What a powerful word! In the Old Testament, everyone had to go down, for death came upon all men, and they had to go down. But many went down in the living hope of the resurrection, and then came up with Christ, as we shall see in a moment. It is worth believing. Sometimes there are people who have trouble believing, and they say, I don't see anything supernatural. Did these Old Testament saints see much? We may not be able to judge that completely. But one thing we can say is that they carried the promise of God's coming salvation through the Messiah in their hearts. And when their time came, they saw it. Here on earth, the difference between the believers and the unbelievers is not so outwardly visible. And that is why the prophet Malachi says, in the day that I shall make, you shall see the difference between him who serves me and him who does not serve me. And a book of remembrance is written before me. Beloved, I say it again. We may not always see everything right before our eyes, but if we believe what God has said, then the day will come, then the hour will come, when we will see what we have believed. God does not owe us an answer. Thus saith the Lord, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. The Lord has taken up the fight against Satan, death and hell. He has not only fought the battle, he has won the victory. Amen. Hallelujah. He is risen and has won the victory over death and hell and the devil. And now, the glorious message is that his victory is also our victory, for the salvation of our God has been revealed to us. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. Today we can say, it is done. He has delivered from the power of death. If in the Old Testament all these things were written in the future tense, in the New Testament they are already presented as divinely fulfilled facts. It is finished. It has happened. The Lord has come and brought us redemption. Where are your plagues, O death? Where is thy destruction, O grave? And Paul put it so marvelously, perhaps referring to this word, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He does not say, who will give us the victory, but has given. Golgotha was already behind him, and he was able to see and proclaim the finished work of redemption. Death, where is thy sting? The sting was stabbed into the heel of the Prince of Life. But death has been swallowed up by life, and our Lord has won the victory. Let us believe it today, once and for all, with all our hearts. Redemption has been accomplished. God has done it for you and for me. I have been able to experience that death cannot scare you. Oh, what peace and what certainty at the time of my passing. No anxiety, no uncertainty, but as the songwriter sings, when peace like a river attendeth my way, then my heart rejoices. And so we too can rejoice and shout for joy. Let's read a few verses from Matthew 27. Matthew 27 from verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Death, where is thy sting? Hell, where is thy victory? I will redeem them from death. He has redeemed. He has taken away the power of death. And all the Old Testament saints who have part in the first resurrection rose with him at that time and appeared to many in the holy city. We will be resurrected at the return of Jesus Christ, and all who are still alive and remain will be transformed. This is God's word, and it will happen just as the Lord has said. They came out of the graves after his resurrection. He had to be the firstborn from the dead. He came out first, and all those who had trusted in him followed him in this triumphal procession. After the 40 days, our Lord entered into glory with the Old Testament saints. And the psalmist said, "Open ye ancient gates, and let the King in." Who is this King? He is the King of glory, mighty in battle, the victor of Golgotha. Open ye ancient gates, and let the King in with all those whom he has redeemed. If that was such a mighty triumph, what will it be like when the Lord leads the redeemed multitude from all peoples, tongues, and nations into his glory? Oh, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, this God has prepared for those who love him. And we have this blessed hope within us, and more than this, the assurance of faith we carry in our hearts. Luke 24 from verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Isn't that a marvelous word? And all of us who have ever been to Jerusalem have experienced the greatest and most powerful thing in our hearts when we were allowed to enter this tomb. And each time I have thanked my Lord that He is risen and that He lives. All the other religious leaders remained in their tombs. What use are the gold-decorated stones on their graves? They were great philosophers, and they died with their philosophy. They were great religious leaders and seducers, and they all died. But Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, has come to redeem you and me. And in this body of flesh in which we had fallen, He has brought us back, and we have been reconciled to God. Accept it once and for all. God was in Christ and reconciled the world to Himself. But not just a few women or a few apostles, but more than 500 brothers saw our Lord after His resurrection. I read to this from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, from verse 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, from verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that He was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, He was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, up to hear this precious and holy word of God. Paul saw himself as the most humble, the least valuable in all of this, and says, last of all, He also appeared to me. And then he praises the grace of God and writes, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain." Can we not all say the same thing today? By God's grace, I and you are what we have become. Not by merit or worthiness, but by the grace of our God. Then I read in the same chapter from verse 20, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ's at His coming." Then cometh the end. We all know that there is a first and a second resurrection. The first resurrection will take place when Jesus Christ returns. And the dead in Christ are raised incorruptible, according to 1 Corinthians 15 from verse 51 and 1 Thessalonians 4 from verse 13. These two Bible passages deal with the return of the Lord, which is now very near. And someone may ask, who can say it with such certainty? Friends, we are not dealing here with human predictions or uncertain guesses, but with the infallible Word of God, which has been given to us for this time and revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. And that is why it is such a certainty that penetrates our hearts. It has been wrought in your heart and in mine, not by you and not by me, but by the Spirit of God on the basis of the Word of God. Let us now read from Colossians 2, verse 13. Colossians 2, from verse 13. "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross." "And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." What a marvelous and glorious word. Through Golgotha, not only have our sins been forgiven, not only blotting out the handwriting of ordinances, not only has redemption come, but new life through the grace of our God. We were crucified with Him, buried with Him, and resurrected with Him to a new life through the grace of our God. It says here that all this happened through the cross, after He had completely disarmed the powers and principalities. That is part of it. We are dealing with enemy powers that have experienced a complete surrender. And many of us can still remember when this total, unconditional surrender came upon us. All previous negotiations were unsuccessful. Those who were certain of victory demanded unconditional, total, complete surrender. And friends, you don't need to have any national pride to sympathize a little. When you had to see with your own eyes how generals decorated with their uniforms, holding their hands up like that, and had to surrender. It was a complete, a total surrender. Here, the surrender we read about this morning was the most complete, the most final, and the most total surrender in the history of mankind. Satan and his whole army have been defeated, and we believe in the total victory of the cross of Golgotha. Jesus is the victor, and He has given us victory by grace. It says here so wonderfully, and having disarmed principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. All the power of sin, all the power of sickness, all the power of death, all the power of the enemy has been defeated on the cross of Calvary. And if we are in this biblical faith, which is a faith in the resurrection, it is not a dead faith, but a resurrection faith, a faith that has risen with Christ. And that is why we want to receive this victory of our God in perfect faith from the hand of God. Let us read to this the word from 1 Peter chapter 2 in order to understand what God has made of us through Golgotha in Jesus Christ, in whom we may believe. 1 Peter chapter 2 from verse 7. Unto you therefore which believe, He is precious. Amen. Unto you who believe, unto you who trust, the precious things will be given. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. Beloved, anyone who is offended by Jesus Christ and does not have a complete inner yes to Him is still in unbelief, and this unbelief causes this offense in him. But faith removes the offense, and the rock of offense becomes the rock of salvation. Hallelujah! And we look up to Him who has crowned us with mercy and loving kindness. Then it says in verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Hallelujah! Praise, honor, and glory be to our God. That is a divine fact. And some believers have been believers for 10, 20, 30 years, and they still pray for forgiveness, for mercy, for this and that, and do not know that we are already the holy people of God, redeemed and brought into the sonship, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God. We are not yet to be. We already are. John writes in his letter, in chapter 3, that we are God's children. It has not yet been revealed what we will be, but when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. We cannot understand it. We would rather lie in the dust and say, Lord, depart from me, I am a sinful man. But precisely because we are sinful people and could not help ourselves, He came to us to help us and save us. That is the message of the gospel, and we believe it with all our heart and soul. 1 Peter chapter 3 from verse 18. For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also He went and preached unto the spirits in prison. We could now read in chapter 4 in Ephesians that He who descended also ascended into heaven, giving gifts to men.
Gaben gegeben
Oh, that we could grasp by faith today, as never before, what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, our Lord, on the cross of Calvary. Christ died for our sins once for all. The just for the unjust, as the clean for the unclean, as the immortal for the mortal. He took everything upon himself. You and I were so worthy in his eyes that he took all this upon himself. Oh, even the hardest heart should soften and say, Lord, if all this is so, then I have no way or only one way to consecrate myself to you and receive by grace what you have done for me. Christ is once and for all for your sins and mine, for the sins of all those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. For them he is the Lamb of God who was slain. And when he died on the cross, he cried out, "It is finished." And then he went down. For in the Old Testament he said, "Death, I will be a pestilence to you. I will be a terror to you." And then he went down. And I'm convinced that when death received all the others down there, things were always fine and dandy for him. But when the Prince of Life went down, death was terrified. He knew that his hour had come. He lost his right to the people of God, because the blood of atonement flowed on the cross of Golgotha, and he could not help but do so and submit completely to the total surrender with all his powers. Believe me today, it was a total and complete surrender of the powers of Satan, and Jesus emerged as the glorious and great victor. They knew they were believers and partakers of eternal life, and they waited for that day and that hour. What must have been going on in them? And I remember what Brother Branham said. After all, he has seen many things in the spirit and in visions. He has also been transferred down, and he says, "I see the Lord going down now, and I hear Abraham say, 'This is he who visited me then, when I was sitting under the oak tree.'" And he then goes on and listed all these saints, or some of them, and their hour had come. Hallelujah! Our hour is near. Yes, it is here, in which the Lord will glorify himself anew. And we will not ask the unbelievers for long to become believers. The Holy Spirit will come upon them and convict them and bring them to Christ. I believe that with all my heart and soul. Then it is no longer your and my evangelization, but God's impact of the gospel, which is the power of God. Beloved, a water baptism is to take place after this service. Some would like to be baptized, and so we will comply with that. And now briefly move on to the other topic. All those who have come to believe in Jesus Christ, who carry the certainty in their hearts that Jesus is their Savior and Redeemer, and that He has forgiven their guilt and covered their sin, that they have been reconciled with God. Beloved, may the Spirit of God draw you in such a mighty way today. And I say to you, whoever does not feel the pull, the mighty pull of the Spirit of God in this meeting today, everything has passed him by, and he will think back on it one day and say, "Oh, why did I close my heart? Why did I resist? I didn't accept God's eternal offer of grace." People who have never heard the gospel, they will not fare well. But people who have heard it and not accepted it will not be spared the reproaches. And they alone can be a torment. Dear heart, let the Lord call you today, and let God pardon you and crown you with mercy. He forgives all your guilt and all your sin, and heals you from all your infirmities. Today there is enough power of God in this room to save every soul, to set every spirit free, to heal every body. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But the Word must call forth faith in us. And faith does not sit still. Faith comes into action. And God reveals Himself to those who take Him in faith at His Word. After all, the resurrection of our Lord is the crowning of the work of redemption. Let us accept everything today, and those who wish to be baptized have surely already received enough instruction about biblical baptism so that we no longer need to talk about it. May God bless us all. I sense that we are closing here now, and that we are asking God fervently that He might reveal His full victory according to His Word and through the power of His blood and His Spirit and His name in us all, and confirm His Word and glorify Himself in us. To Him be praise and honor, glory and worship. Jesus lives. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And because He lives and is the same, He saves today, He heals today, He speaks today, He reveals Himself today, because He is the same as He was yesterday. Hallelujah. Let us believe it with all our heart, and we will see the glory of God. Hallelujah! Let it be done in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. Let us stand and not wait, but worship as from one mouth. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, for your precious and holy word. Lord, we are so glad that we may share in the word that you have lived for your people, for your children, for your elect in these days, O Lord. Lord, we are not worthy of this grace, but Lord, you have taken care of us. You have cleansed us. You have washed us in your blood, Lord. O God, we worship you, Lord, for you are our help. You are our strength. You have become all things to us, Lord. Therefore, we give you the honor. Praise be to your glorious name, Lord. Let our hearts rejoice in you, Lord. Let our hearts be open and our mouths that we may praise you. Hallelujah. Praise be to your name, Lord. Glory to you. Oh, come down, Lord. More of you, Lord. More of your Spirit, Lord. More of your divine power, Lord. Fill all with the power from on high, Lord. With your presence, O God, O Lord. Where it is not so, Lord, create something more, Lord. We ask it in your name, Lord. Glory to you, the Lamb. Hallelujah. Receive the thanks, Lord. Receive the praise, O God. O Lord, worship. Hallelujah. Amen.